Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is the Fan Morning Show. Chris Mack calling off today and tomorrow. Jim alongside, riding shotgun, providing the updates, as you just heard, and also another voice of reason as producer Matt is out this week. Cale Berger in for him. We keep it all on the rails as we get ready to talk to Jeff Banister, former Pirates coach and Texas Rangers manager. He joins us in a little more than 25 minutes, right around 9:30 here on the Fan Morning Show. But joining us right now on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Hall & Capitis, our good friend from the Trib. He covers the Penguins in the NHL and the world of hockey so very well, Seth Rohrbaugh. Good morning, Seth. How are you?
Very good. Yourself?
We're doing well, doing well. Before we get into discussions of hub cities and whether they're both going to be Canadian or when we might find out or everything that's going on with the restart, let's start with the NHL draft lottery, which it seems like every 3, 4, maybe 5 years is really good for some ridiculous drama and or chaos. And we got that this past weekend. And now the 16 teams that are playing in the qualifying round, the play-in round, if you want to call it that, will have as good a shot to win the cup at the end of this thing as they will to end up with the first round pick or the first overall pick.
Yeah, it's very bizarre, and that's saying something for the times we're living in right now. And I realize the NHL had to kind of come up with some kind of formula that, balance things out. I mean, you couldn't just go off of, how the regular season ended with some teams playing 68 games, some teams playing 71 games. You kind of had to level things off, but this just seems really just not proper. It just seems not proper that, say, the Pittsburgh Penguins literally have a chance to draft Alexis Lafrenière, the presumed number one overall pick, or even the Edmonton Oilers, who have benefited for so many number one overall picks in recent years, and not the Detroit Red Wings slid from being the worst team in the league to the fourth overall draft pick. So I don't know that there was a right answer for how the NHL should handle this, but I think they picked a really wrong one in terms of how things played out on Friday night.
Well, Seth, it all started with the expanding the playoffs and going beyond the 16 teams that open it up, because then you open up, like you said, the possibility of one of the better teams. Well, the Penguins had the seventh highest point total in the league, and it opens it up for a really good team to end up with a franchise player. But one thing that kills me is how people say, well, do you think teams will tank on purpose? No. I mean, the players aren't going to try to lose on purpose. The players have a much more interest. I don't know why that even comes up as a topic among fans and even some of us, when that's just not something that players would do, is to lose on purpose so their team gets a better draft pick. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and theoretically, that player could take away your job. So I don't know what the benefit is for, the 12th forward on the Chicago Blackhawks or the Montreal Canadiens to purposely lose and draft a player that could theoretically take away his job. So. Now you might want to say management will sometimes lose on purpose or, field the lesser lineups maybe for that benefit. We certainly have seen the Penguins benefit from that mindset here over the past 30-some years. But, no, a player really does not have any sort of motivation to lose because, frankly, that could cost him his job.
Seth Rohrbaugh, the Trib, with us here on the Fan Morning Show. I heard over the weekend, Seth, and we've heard it increase over the last, 5 or 6 days, as you see coronavirus case numbers rise in certain parts of the country, most of the country, to be quite honest, that some players are very reticent to get into the bubble of whatever their hub city may be. Carey Price talked about it last week as he's got a pregnant wife. Artemi Panarin talked about it. Let's see, who else? Patrick Kane, I believe, at one point. Now, Kane and Price are interesting in that they come from teams that ordinarily wouldn't have been involved in this thing. The Rangers were sort of right on the bubble, so to speak, of the playoff picture. But it strikes me that you've got guys coming from big market cities, teams in those big market cities that were included really for their TV markets more than anything else, rather than their actual, determination to be in the usual playoff picture, saying, well, what value is there in this for us as Carey Price or Patrick Kane or anybody else? What is the value in our team coming back into this thing if we don't know how deep we're going to get anyway, and we've got maybe friends, loved ones, family members who could really be affected by this?
Well, I think the main benefit is for the league and the Players Association, the $500 million that they would have to give back in television and advertising revenue. And that's all tied into the salary cap. And yeah, I know they're sort of renegotiating a bit of an extension here for the CBA that would kind of address or adjust for some of the current problems, obviously, the shutdown has created. But you know, if they don't play this, they have to pay back $500 million to various TV networks, NBC here in America, and you know, Sportsnet and RDS up in Canada, and that would dramatically impact the league's revenues, and trickle down effect on that is the players' salaries. Now, a guy like Carey Price or Patrick Kane, yeah, they're signing a long term contract, so maybe it doesn't impact them directly as much. But the NHLPA is a collective, and for let's say a guy like Justin Schultz, I mean, he's going to be a pending unrestricted free agent after this season. If there's less money to spend, that's not good for him, obviously. So I would say the NHLPA as a whole, not so much the players individually, but the NHLPA as a whole has a very vested benefit in terms of trying to complete this season as best they can in order to prevent having to give back that money that they would have to give back to the various network sponsors.
Seth, I think I saw something over the weekend that now it sounds like, let's say if Toronto is, and you talk about being the fix being in, if Toronto is selected as a hub city, that now there's thinking that they'll keep the Eastern teams in the East, even though the Maple Leafs would be playing in their home city, because it makes sense from a TV standpoint. I've always thought that it makes sense to keep the Eastern teams in the East because of television. But do you think that that's going to happen? And do you think that, or and Chris and I talked about this earlier, an offshoot of that is, if Toronto's one of the cities, is there a chance that Edmonton will be the other? And would there be any kind of a, because to me it doesn't make any difference if there are two Canadian cities, since this is just a made-for-TV event anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I would venture to think that they would try to stagger it, you know, eastern part of the continent versus western part of the continent, because theoretically you could start, you know, games in eastern cities, eastern city at 10 a.m. and go on playing throughout the night and start games at 10 o'clock Vegas time or Edmonton time or whatever it might be. So I just think from a practicality standpoint, or, you know, just it would make more sense to kind of have, you know, an Eastern Conference and a Western Conference city, and just for television and being able to space things out. And yeah, keep in mind too, I mean, NBC does not have the Olympic Games this summer, the Summer Olympics. So, I mean, that's a big block of television programming. I believe Sportsnet, the same problem is up for them as well up in Canada. So for the two most important networks out of this, I mean, there's a pretty big, you know, gap of broadcasting time that they kind of have to fill. And as we know with the Olympics, I mean, that's a lot of times almost like kind of like a 24-hour endeavor, you know, regardless if they're, you know, on the, you know, Eastern Hemisphere or the Western Hemisphere, you know, the various networks are, you know, carrying, you know, gymnastics or, you know, track and field or whatever, you know, all throughout the night. So if you find a way to, you know, stagger the game times from say, you know, 10 a.m. On the East Coast versus, you know, 10 p.m. On the Western side of the continent, that would probably be an ideal scenario just for the networks to kind of fill up that time, and also just be able to present something to the average viewer throughout the course of the day.
Well, yeah, you bring that up, and Seth Rohrbaugh, the Trib, with us here on the Fan Morning Show. You bring up the idea of having giant chunks of programming to fill on these networks, and then in light of seeing the NBA schedule that came out this past weekend and how games are going to be played throughout the day, is that the sense that you would get, Seth, that especially during the qualifying round, the first couple of rounds of the playoffs, that we would more or less have hockey all day? You'd have a noon Eastern start, and then maybe a 4 p.m. start, maybe an 8 p.m. start, maybe even a 10:30 game at night for the West Coast markets?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that the NHL has really offered many details. We haven't leaked out many details as far as how to stagger them. But, I make no mistake, this is a made-for-TV event, as Jim said. This is all being done for the benefit of television. So, the whims of NBC and Sportsnet are going to kind of dictate how this all kind of goes out. And, you know, the kind of scenario, the outline there probably makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways just for the benefit of television. And, I don't, you know, maybe there's an hour between games to allow them to kind of clean down the benches and the ice surfaces and everything like that, kind of disinfect everything just based on the obvious health woes we're dealing with right now. But you could theoretically play, I don't know what, maybe four or five games a day in each city, and then you know, play another four or five games the next day in the next city. And so, I mean, this is it's obviously a strange endeavor, but I'm very interested to see just, you know, do we have like quadruple headers or quintuple headers, I guess, for lack of a better term, going into this. So it's going to be pretty interesting, I think, if assuming it does get pulled off.
Yeah, speaking of assuming, because, you know, there are a lot of what-ifs involved here and things could happen. Who knows how quickly they could. But the Penguins are really set up here, aren't they? With Guentzel coming back and everybody else reasonably healthy, they've got like 18 obvious skaters, and to me, there are obvious lines and obvious defensive pairs that they've got to be set up as well as anybody else going into this thing.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their depth. I mean, you know, if everyone's healthy, with the obvious exception of Nick Bjugstad and Dominic Simone, if everyone's healthy, you have a guy like Sam Lafferty who had a solid rookie season and played 50-some games. He's going to be a healthy scratch. Evan Rodriguez, the guy they got from Buffalo, can play just about every position among the forward ranks. And we showed some things on the penalty kill. He's probably going to be a healthy scratch. Anthony Angelo looked like a decent kind of like fourth line forward. He'll be a healthy scratch. So that really speaks to the depth the Penguins have. And you know, the thing that stood out to me when they won in 16 and 17 the Stanley Cup is that they just basically had more depth than the other teams they went against. And I think that's something Jim Rutherford has always kind of stressed since he's been here with the Penguins, crude depth. And just try to, you know, have a better, say, 15 forwards, or have a better, you know, 25, 26 players overall than the other team, because injuries and other things are going to kind of pop up and happen. And you need those kind of extra players there. I mean, I know what Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin going to do. What's Penny going to do? Is he going to be better than the fourth line center than the Montreal Canadiens, or the Washington Capitals, if they get that far, the Tampa Bay Lightning, if they get that far? So, the Penguins, just from top to bottom, you know, to me, have, you know, some really impressive depth. And at first, I think that's going to be a secret for them, you know, getting through this postseason for them. They're trying to allow that depth and, you know, have a better fourth line than the 13th line.
Seth Rohrbaugh, the Trib, with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Before we let you run, you mentioned that depth, Seth, and how important it is in a typical playoff run. But do you get a sense that NHL teams are starting to recognize that, just like every other major professional sport, if they're going to play this year, it's going to be weird. It's going to include positive tests. It's going to include contact tracing and some guys having to sit out in some cases a couple of days at a time just to get negative tests if they've been exposed to someone who is positive. And do you get the sense that the hockey world is starting to reckon with that as much as the rest of the sports world?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think in one sense, hockey players kind of get, you know, tunnel vision. They kind of just, you know, put the blinders on and they just go about their business no matter what the circumstances are. You know, if they're playing in front of an empty building or if they're playing in front of 18,000 people, they just handle the task at hand. It might take them maybe a shift or two, maybe a period or so to kind of recognize this is a very different environment. But I think, you know, once that happens, you know, they just go about the task at hand and do their job. And but at the same time, too, I mean, this is going to be just a huge adjustment just for life in general. Forget, you know, being a hockey player. But, I mean, if you're in a successful playoff run, you're potentially boarded up in a hub city for, you know, 2+ months here and presumably away from your family and everything like that. So, I mean, it's probably going to be a huge adjustment for them. But I guess the blessing in all this, so to speak, is that it's the same for everyone. So the Penguins and Washington Capitals are kind of going at it in a second or third round or however this is structured. They're going to be under the same circumstances. They're each kind of boarded up in a hotel room in Toronto or Edmonton or wherever this might be. So it's a level playing field, albeit not an ideal one, but it's a level playing field for all teams involved.
Seth Rohrbaugh, the Trib. He covers the Penguins and the NHL and the entire hockey world very well. We appreciate the time this morning, Seth. Stay safe and be well. We'll talk again soon.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.